Lewis and Ken, welcome to the Illinois Labor Hour.
Thanks. Thanks, Bill.
Some of our listeners might not be familiar with the story of the 1913 massacre. Could you give us a brief rundown on it?
Sure. I guess I can start and maybe Ken can jump in. In the summer of 1913, the miners of the Calumet and Hecla Mining Company in Calumet went on strike. The WFM came in to support the strike, and some people would say to fire people up. A group of local Calumet business people formed another group called the Citizens Alliance to counter the strike. So there was a lot of tension in the town, and the tension simmered all fall, and there were a couple of violent outbursts. The National Guard were called in. The place was basically
It's an armed camp, really.
an armed camp, and there were these Waddell detectives all over the place too. So there's a lot of violence and a lot of suspicion and a lot of tension. And on Christmas Eve, the Ladies Auxiliary decided to throw a party for the children of the striking miners. And the party was held in a place called Italian Hall, which was one of these old halls, old meeting halls at the top of a steep stairway. And the party got underway. There was some singing, there were some songs, there was some dancing. And the kids were lining up to get their presents from Santa Claus. There were about 500 people in the hall, mostly mothers and children, also some men. And somebody, nobody knows who, came into the hall and yelled, "Fire!" And there was a panic, and there was a rush for that stairway, and there was a crush on the stairway, and 74 people were suffocated to death on the stairway.
53 of them were children.
59 of them, I think, were children. But anyway, the numbers, you know.
Yeah, was that Ken there saying 53?
Yeah, that's my, the numbers float.
What really inspired you to go after this particular story? Because there's definitely plenty of tragedies in the American labor movement.
Ken?
Well, there is the way that we came to this story was through a song, and the song is 1913 Massacre, and Woody Guthrie wrote this song in 1941. He sang the song, and it was recorded, and it's on the Smithsonian album of Woody's songs. And in the late 70s, Arlo Guthrie recorded the song. It's on one of his albums. It's a pretty, you've got to know Woody Guthrie pretty well to know the song. It's not one of his most popular songs. Then again, a lot of people say it's one of his most important songs. And we came to this story through the song. It's the only way really anybody who wasn't intimately involved with losing a family member or being local to Calumet in Upper Michigan would know about this event. Very few people, it's not in really any of the history books. It's certainly not, you'd really have to dig into labor history to find out about it. Woody Guthrie wrote songs based on what was happening. You know, he'd pick up the newspaper and find something, and it would strike his interest, and he would write a song about it. And he heard about what happened in Calumet on Christmas Eve, 1913, from a book by Mother Bloor called We Are Many. And he was so struck with this tragedy that he wrote the song. And really, the song was very powerful. It has a, as Pete Seeger says in our the trailer that we've made for our film, it has a gentle lullaby, gentle melody. It's almost sung like a lullaby that kind of underscores the power of, and the tragedy of what happened that night, and relates also to the children that were killed, which is, you know, one of the biggest parts of the tragedy. So we became interested in in Calumet, Lewis, I mean, Lewis showed me a tape that he had shot. I don't know if you want to talk about this part, Lewis, but Lewis, being Italian, was interested in what's going on in Italian Hall. He heard the Arlo song, and you want to pick it up, Lewis?
Well, sure. I one of the first few lines of the song is, I'll take you to a place called Italian Hall, and that bothered me. I couldn't figure out what Italians were doing in Michigan, what this place Calumet was, and I went out there and I shot a little bit of tape, and I came back and showed it to Ken. And people in Calumet, this past, this history is still very much alive. And I guess that's one of our main interests, is the way in which history lives, which is why, after all, the song is so powerful. You know, in a way, all these events are—they're this remote past, and they happened a long time ago. And this was a particular moment in labor history. And, you know, to say that it's relevant now is to, you know, just to speak in vague generalities, unless you have something as powerful as this song. And there's something about music and something about Woody Guthrie's music that makes these things matter and makes them resonate for us. And I think that's what we're trying to capture, is the resonance of this event and its meaning and its actuality, the fact that it is still very much alive. Not that there's still a strike in Calumet, there's not even copper mining in Calumet anymore, but the event is still very much alive, mainly because of the song and the treatment of the event in the song, which is a very controversial treatment.
Yeah, and I would actually only add to that the tragedy is, again, certainly alive for people who've lost family. We've talked to people who've lost aunts and uncles that they never met. We've talked to people who were there that night who remember somebody yelling fire. The town and the nucleus of the town has been affected, that's for sure. But why it matters in a larger context is what's really interesting. How history is alive in the song, in the story that it tells, and how it brings it to life and resonates with what's happening in our world now. There's some kind of timelessness about this struggle and the story that is told in Woody's song that is ever present, and it's embodied in the song, and that's what we're trying to bring out in the film.
Sort of perhaps the idea of Woody Guthrie and other folk singers and current folk singers being, the old type of troubadour, who is a person who brought news, and they're bringing news that you don't usually hear in the mainstream. And many people say that rap music is performing that function currently.
To a large extent. It's actually music that Woody's music and other people call their music now. People's music. It's coming from, you know, people's stories and people's hearts and people's lives, and it's for people to people. And that's, you know, I guess that could be said of rap music. Some people say it's true of country music.
Well, very much so.
Pardon me?
I would say very much so, at least in the past.
Yeah, there's definitely that tradition in music that we're interested in. And the film that we're making is really a musical documentary. There's lots of song in our film, and in fact, everyone who's in our film at some point during the interview process is asked to sing a song, and very much about song and the power of music.
Yeah, this is Lewis. I mean, one of the things that happens when you ask someone to sing a song is that they, especially a song that they remember, say from their youth. We have, for example, a 95 or 96 year old, no, actually 97 year old Croatian woman singing songs that her husband sang to her when he was courting her when she was only 16 years old. And her, when she sings these songs, that moment is there for her, and it's that quality of music to sort of conjure a present and to make things present and to bring people together in the present. that I think is it has been most impressed upon us as we've been working here. And it's really you know, an interesting and kind of powerful experience to watch this happen.